And good morning, Ascend Church. It's Sunday. Thank you. Some people a little excited. Maybe that was a practice run. Happy Sunday. Woo! All right. Thank you so much for standing with us. And thank you so much to those who are watching online. We just encourage everybody to just worship God this morning and give Him praise. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. We bless you, Lord. And I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures of fame are never enough. But you came along and you put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Yes, I know it's true.
Second verse with me. Here we go.
Oh,
between death and life. And there on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell. And he took back every king. He rose up a lion. And he kept his captives free. There ain't no grave. Yeah. Gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave I'm walking to. Come on, sing it. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to, hey, hey, yeah. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to, gonna sing about it. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to, hey, hey, hey. If you walked out of the grave I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking to. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking to. Gonna sing about it. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking to. There ain't no grave. It's gonna hold my body down. No grave gonna hold my body down. And when you hear that trumpet sound, he rose up out of the ground. There ain't no
what's he talking about? Ain't no grave gonna hold me down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, now dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and first the believers who have died will rise from their graves. And then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. Let me tell you, that's what we're singing about. That's our hope. Jesus is coming back. And you know, the more that I look around and see what's going on in the world, I mean, the world's just gone crazy. It's gone crazy. And the more that I see what's happening, the more I realize how close we are. We're getting closer and closer to Jesus coming back. The Bible says the dead are going to rise out their graves and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And Paul said, I tell you this directly from the Lord himself. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day, man. Aren't you? Don't be discouraged, because let me tell you, just when it looks like, you know, just when it looks bleak on earth, that's when Jesus is going to come and get us. Amen. So that's what we're singing about. That was kind of a little country. We brought a little country in today for Anna's. Almost felt like I should have had my six gun on. My six gun. I read an amazing scripture last night. Amazing scripture. Luke 22, verse 42. Jesus said, go and pawn your cloak and go and buy a sword. Have you ever read that scripture? He said, trouble's up ahead. Pawn your cloak. You ever read that? And buy a sword. Now, we don't have swords today. We have guns. That's what Jesus said. I'm still trying to process this, because he also said turn the other cheek, but then he said go pawn your cloak and get a sword. So anyway, praise the Lord. Come on, lift your hands up. Say, Jesus, we worship you today. Lift your hands up. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. We give you praise today. We magnify you. We glorify you. Amen. How many of you know that he is a waymaker? I said, how many of you know he is the waymaker? Huh? And I don't know what you're facing right now. I can tell you right now, I've been many times in my life where I didn't see a way. I didn't see I was going to get out of the situation I was in. And the Lord made a way. Whatever you're facing today, I want to tell you right now, God can make a way for you. All you got to do is look to him. Call on him. He said, call upon me and I will answer you. You just got to call upon him today. Look to him today. Sing the song with us today. As we sing it, it's not just words that we're singing. It's actually a prayer that we're declaring. Lord, you are my way maker. You're my miracle worker. You're the light in the darkness. You're the promise keeper. Let's declare it. Let's sing it out today. Amen. And I'm going to ask you during this song, if you need prayer this morning, come forward and we're going to pray. Whatever it is that you are facing, I want you to know the Lord is our healer, our deliverer, our provider, our protector, our strengthener. Anything that you need, man, he is here. And so I'm going to ask our prayer partners, going to come stand at the front. If you need prayer, please don't be shy. Just slip out of your where you are. Just move past the people. They won't mind at all. We love you. Come forward. Let us pray. And church, let's sing it out today. Let's lift our voice. Let's tell him today, he's the way maker. Lord, we look to you. We trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in place. I worship you. I worship you. place. I worship you. I worship you. Sing it with me. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. Oh, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. to even when I, ready? And even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
Just lift your hands and worship him. There's an electricity in the air today. There, I can sense a faith that's rising from people in this place today. There's something that's stirring in the spirit realm. And it comes from when you begin to sing about who he is. And you begin to declare that you believe what the word of God says about him. There is a power that is made available, says the Lord. And even when you don't think he's working, he's working. And even as you're in church, he's working. And even when you're sleeping, he is working. Because the word of God is eternal. And the Bible says that, God caused a deep sleep to fall over Adam. And while Adam was sleeping, God made Eve. That means that Adam didn't have to have a hand in what God was doing. Adam just had to rest in what God was doing. And I have a message for you in this atmosphere of faith this morning, is that you need to just rest and know that God is working on your case. Say, God's working on my case. Say, God is on my side. God is a way maker in my life. He is a miracle worker. Do you believe that this morning? That means that when you have a situation that looks like doctors can help you, looks like bankers can help you, looks like judges can help you, or lawyers can help you, that God can make a way where there seems to be no way. I don't think you're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying in this place. Because if you would get a grip on what God has done for you, you would never doubt for one minute that he can do it. You'd never doubt for a minute. I'm telling you, don't doubt for a minute. Jerry, don't doubt for a minute. Don't doubt for a minute, because God is working. He's working, because all we do is we turn a switch of faith and we say, you know what, like we heard last week, with my faith, I'm going to take a hold of the promises of God and I'm going to bring them into reality. I'm going to bring them into reality in my children's lives. Right. I'm going to bring them into reality in my marriage. And I'm going to have what God says that I have. Is anybody feeling that this morning? Because I'm not trying to stir up your emotions. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God that when you are in an atmosphere of miracles and you're in an atmosphere of faith, you can reach out and grab whatever it is that you need. It's there, my family. It's there and it's available. And God's heart is for his children. God's heart, everything he did was for you. When he sacrificed Jesus, it was for you. There is nothing that he withholds from his children. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Spirit of God? You know, just to explain something to you, that the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And what that is, another word, another translation, is the manifestations of the Spirit. And you know, the church in the book of Acts did not just go by preaching. They met in houses. They met in large groups. It was in demonstration of the Spirit and power. You constantly see the Holy Spirit said, separate these men, send them here. You see God speaking to people in dreams. People showing Paul, look at these people over in, I think, Macedonia. Go to them. The Holy Spirit was constantly directing the church. And that by the Spirit today, God is directing you. He knows who is sitting here. He knows who is watching this. He knows what you're facing. And he is speaking to you by his Spirit. Just say, I receive that. I receive that. Hallelujah. We got one more song that we're going to sing. We're going to worship the Lord. My shaky legs back into those shoes.
Thank you, Lord God. What a presence in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. We worship you all across this room. I just encourage you to just raise your hand in this atmosphere. Raise your hand. Raise your hearts. Open up. Receive it this morning. We sing, oh, great.
Are you, Lord?
to be praised. Man, you know how to worship. And that's beautiful. You know, church is not just about us coming to be ministered to. We first come and minister to the Lord. And that worship just goes up before Him. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those watching online. Just greet somebody and you may be seated. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Welcome to those, to everybody present. Welcome to those, our online viewers from around the world, our Ascend Church members. We miss you. We can't wait to see you again. And I especially want to welcome anyone today that is a first-time guest in our church. If you are here for the first time today, we'd just like to honor you and welcome you and give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. Is anyone visiting us for the first time today? Anybody? God bless you. Come on, let's give her an Ascend Church welcome. So glad you're here. So glad. Our ushers would have given you a visitor bag, and it has a few Christmas goodies in it. And then it has a guest card. We ask you to take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. Gives Pastor an opportunity to call you. So thank you for joining us today. We'd love to meet you in the lobby afterwards. There's four different platforms to watch us on. You know, we never assume everybody knows what it is that where we to find us. First one is our website, which is ascendchurch.us. Second one is our mobile app. If you don't have our mobile app, there's a barcode on the seat in front of you. Just hover your phone camera over it. And if you have a smartphone, it'll come up. Just get onto the app. There's all kinds of things on there, as well as you can watch the messages. Then on YouTube, on the Ascend Church Jupiter, and then on Facebook Live. And if you just share it on your live stream, on your Facebook page. You know, I noticed that in my own family, I have my cousin's daughters. You know, sometimes you only keep in touch with people, especially when you move country, just through Facebook. And one of my cousin's daughters said to me this week, the next time you're in South Africa, I really want to come to one of the services. Now, that only happens because a door's been opened, because something's been shared, a message has been shared on Facebook, and you never know who's watching and how God's ministering to them. So thank you for sharing that. Those that are watching, comment where you're watching from. Send in a prayer request. And thank you for giving online. It's really easy. There's a link on Facebook. It'll show you. It'll direct you right into being able to give. There's various ways. If you're on the app, it's very simple. If you're on our website, very simple. It says give. It'll just take you through some directions. Just to let you know, there is a Spanish translation of every service. Danny translates. Wave your hand, Danny. Danny translates all Pastor Steve's sermon every week. That's amazing. And she'll, we've got the whole thing in Spanish. And so if you hear, if you bring somebody and they'd rather hear the message in Spanish, just let an usher know. Just wave your hand. We'll give you some simple instructions, a set of earphones and a smartphone, and you'll be able to watch it in that language. Just lastly, to remind you of our four purposes of our church. The first one is that we would know God, that we would find freedom, that you would discover your purpose, and that you'd make a difference with your life. Amen. That's what we're all about at Ascend Church. Pastor Steve, he posted something this week that he saw. It was a Gallup poll that said during this whole year that we've been through, they did this Gallup poll of different people, and they were looking at their mental health. And they went through people who of different income brackets. They went through different races. They went through all kinds of different ages. And everyone came out at a negative on mental health compared to last year. Except there was one exception, and that was for the group who attend church weekly. Isn't that amazing? That was in the plus range because people just have more peace and they just kind of feel okay. God's working with them. Amen. So I love that. That's us, right?
That's right.
We're in the plus size.
That's right. Good morning, everybody. Am I good now? Okay. It's good to see you. Tell your neighbor it's good to see you today. I'm going to ask you now, I'm going to ask everybody to stand up. Everybody to please stand up. I want all the people sitting in front of the cameras, I want all of you to move in this way, to fill up the middle. All of you move in this way. Everybody sitting behind the camera, I want you please to come out and sit in the section in front of the camera. Everybody behind the camera, come waiting on you. Get up out of your seat, please, and come and fill up these seats. Move across all the way. There we go. This is, pretend you're in Disney World. This is what they do at Disney World. Just pretend you're in Disney, big smile on your face, happy place. There you go. If you're behind the camera, I'm waiting for you to get out from behind the camera and come and sit in this section. All right? Lots of seats here. Everybody. Everybody. I'm waiting on everybody who's sitting behind that camera to get up out of your seat and come and sit over here. Thank you. And in the future, if you just sit here, you won't have to move. Because if you're behind that camera and we got empty seats, I'm going to move you. Okay, Bruce, you're still behind the camera, brother. You're still sitting behind the camera. Everybody in the front, I've got empty seats here. Because we're filming for television. Why film an empty chair when you're sitting back there? Why film empty chairs? Praise the Lord, I got dressed up for you today. A little tight, but it still fits. It fit me perfect before the pandemic. Now a little tight. I just felt like it today. You know, you can wear whatever you want to wear to come to church here. You can wear shorts if you want to, like Barry. You can wear a suit like me. You can wear whatever you want, long as you have clothes on. That's good, right? I want to welcome all those who are watching us online, joining us online from all over, all around the world. We're so glad that you are joined with us today. I believe God's going to do something great in your life today. Are you ready today? I hope you're ready today. Father, we thank you today that you are the God of increase. And Lord, I thank you today. It's your will and desire to bring increase in our life. And I pray today, Lord, as I preach your word, that you will help me, anoint me, speak through me today. Bring revelation, understanding to every person. Let our faith rise up big, Lord, to trust you for great things in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen and amen. Thank you. Give the worship team a big round of applause. Will you do that? They do such a wonderful job. Do such a great job. Praise the Lord. Are we ready over there, Mark? Okie doke. Praise God. Well, hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter, Florida. I want to invite you, if you live anywhere near Jupiter, within 50 miles of Jupiter, we'd love to have you come visit our church. I promise you that we'll make you feel welcome. We have the friendliest people in the world. Your kids will have a great time at our kids' church. And we hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Now, today, I want to speak to you about the God of increase. And in Psalm 115, in verse 12, it says, "The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you great increase, more and more. May the Lord give you great increase, more and more, you and your children." Now, it says that the Lord's been mindful of you. Do you know you got your own God's mind? What's he thinking about you? He will bless you. He will bless you. He will bring increase, great increase, more and more. You see, that's what God's thinking about. God's thinking about how he can bless you, how he can increase you. Because our God is a God of increase. He wants to increase you more and more. Increase is God's idea. How many people have seen increase in your life since you've been serving the Lord? Well, that's wonderful. But can I tell you right now, there's more coming. Because the Bible says he wants to increase you greatly more and more. Will you ever get to the place where God doesn't want you to increase? No. Some people think, well, you know, there's other people think, well, Pastor Steve, you know, I don't really need much. I don't need a big house. I just need a small apartment. I don't need an expensive car, just a little economical car. I'm not into material things. And that sounds humble, and I'm not making fun of that. There are people who like to live simply. They're fine with a cabin in the woods, hunting for their food, you know, making their own clothes, and that's fine. But here's the thing. You got to understand, my life is not just about me. There is a world to reach. There are multitudes that need to be saved and know Jesus. God has much bigger plans for my life than what I'm even aware of. See, God wants to bless me so that I can be a blessing. Increase has always been God's will. Do you know the first thing that God said after he created man, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden? The first thing God said to them in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. If you read the New International Version, it says be fruitful and increase. Multiply. Increase. The first thing God said, I want you to multiply. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to increase. Even after Adam sinned against the Lord, God's desire for increase didn't change. When God appeared to Abraham to make a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said in verse 2, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase. I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name great and distinguished, and you shall be a blessing. What does that mean? Dispensing good to others. You see, God wants to increase you so that you can be a blessing to other people. And you can't be a blessing if you're not blessed. Abraham's servant said this about Abraham in Genesis 24, verse 35. He said, the Lord has blessed my master abundantly. And he's become wealthy. And he's given him sheep and cattle and silver and gold and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. He said, the Lord blessed my master. The Lord made him wealthy. Look what God told Abraham's son Isaac in Isaiah 51, verse 2. It says, look to Abraham your father, for I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. God increased Abraham. Who brought the increase into Abraham's life? God did. Will God bring increase into your life? Absolutely. The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And Galatians 3, 29 says, now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belong to you. Say, God's promises to Abraham belong to me too. So that means God's promise of increase is for you too. Amen. All through the Bible, you can see God increasing his people, God bringing blessing and increase. And God didn't want this increase and blessing to end with one generation. God wanted this to perpetuate from generation to generation. Increase continues. Not only with Abraham does God increase Abraham, but God increases his son Isaac. In Genesis 26, verse 1, it says there was a famine in the land, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar, and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I tell you. Dwell in this land, for I will be with you, and I will bless you and your descendants, and I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath that I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, and your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It says Isaac went and he sowed in that land, and in the same year he reaped 100-fold, 100 times as much as he sowed. And the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper. And he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions and herds of a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. God increased Isaac during a famine. Isaac continued prospering even during a famine. Do you know that God will increase you no matter what's going on in the world around you? God will increase you no matter what's going on in the world around you. God blessed and increased Isaac's son, Jacob. Jacob had to flee when he took his brother's birthright blessing, and he had to go work for his uncle Laban, and his uncle Laban continually defrauded him. He kept decreasing his wages. More than 10 times he decreased his wages. And Laban said to his uncle in Genesis 30, verse 30, "For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount." What you had before I came was little. It's increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now when, he said, when shall I, I'm waiting for the rest of it. When shall I also prosper? Now, Jacob asked his uncle Laban if he could keep all the speckled and spotted sheep as his wages. There weren't that many, so his uncle agreed. And then God supernaturally increased the sheep. Jacob put strips of bark in the watering troughs. And when the sheep, when they came to drink the water, they looked at this bark. And when they produced sheep, they produced speckled and spotted sheep. In Genesis 30, verse 43, it says, "As a result, Jacob's flocks increased rapidly, and he became very wealthy with many servants, camels, and donkeys." Notice God gave Jacob supernatural increase. Amen. A lot of people, all they know about Job are his troubles. Job caused his troubles by his fear and his wrong words. He said, "That which I fear has come upon me." We don't hear a lot how God prospered Job, but if you read Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "There was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. He had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in the entire land." Satan said this about Job in Job 1, verse 10. He said, "Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." Even the devil knew that God increased Job. Even Satan knew that God, you've increased him. Why does the Bible list Job's possessions? What is spiritual about that? Because God is the one who gave it to him. It was part of the blessings of God. Amen. If financial and material blessings are not important, then why did God mention it so much? Let me tell you, the people in the old covenant, they had no problem with prosperity. They had no problem with possessions. God even advertised it and put it in the Bible so everyone could read about it. Yet today, if a man of God prospers today, he's considered to be a con man. Oh, he's one of them prosperity preachers. He's just after my money. Let me tell you right now, many people don't want a minister to be blessed. I'm glad that that is not true in this church. I'm glad no one in this church has that attitude. Proverbs 10, verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. The Old Testament people, they understood this, that God blessed and increased. You can see God blessing and increasing Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Job, and there's so many others. I mean, David experienced God's blessing and increase. David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Living Bible says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need." And the Passion Bible says, "I always have more than enough." You see, David knew God was a God who was more than enough. In Psalm 23, verse 5, he said, "My cup overflows with blessings." That's what God wants for every one of his children. He wants us to overflow with blessings, but many Christians will not receive it. You know, God took a shepherd boy named David and blessed and increased him so much. Look what David gave to build the temple of God. You can read about it. I think it's in 1 Chronicles 29, it says, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my own private treasures of gold and silver to help the construction. Notice he said, I'm giving my own private treasures. I'm donating more than 112 tons of gold. Do you know how much that's worth? 112 tons of gold is worth $5 billion by today's currency. David gave $5 billion just in gold. I'm giving 262 tons of refined silver to be used for the overlaying of the walls. He said, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? David's offering, just the gold was over $5 billion. The silver was worth over $250 million. God had increased David so much, increased him so greatly that he gave this huge offering, over $5 billion, to build God's temple. If you read about the temple that was built, I mean, it must have been incredible, because David gave $5 billion, and then all the leaders of Israel together, they gave over $5 billion. I think like $8 billion, and then David gathered money from Israel. I figured out the temple must have cost about $20 billion to build. $20 billion. What about David's son Solomon? The Bible says in 1 Kings 10 verse 23, King Solomon became richer and wiser than any other king on earth. In 2 Chronicles 9 verse 13, it says, Solomon received $250 million worth of gold each year from the kings of Arabia and many other lands that paid him annual tribute. In addition, there was a trade balance from the exports of his merchants. It says he used some of the gold to make 200 large shields that were each worth $100,000 and 300 smaller shields, each worth $50,000. The king placed these in the forest of the Lebanon room in his palace. He also made a huge ivory throne overlaid with pure gold. It had 6 steps and a footstool of gold, also gold armrests, each flanked by a gold lion. Gold lion stood at each side of the step. No other throne in all the world could be compared to it. I mean, forget about Game of Thrones. This was nothing could compare to Solomon's temple. All of Solomon's cups were of solid gold, as were all the furnishings in the forest of the Lebanon room. As silver was too cheap to count for much in those days. Every 3 years, the king sent his ships to Tarshish using sailors supplied by King Hiram to bring back gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks, it says. And the king Solomon was richer and wiser than any other king in all the earth. Kings from every nation came to visit him to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart, and each brought him annual tribute of silver and gold bowls and clothing and armor, horses and mules. They brought him all these gifts. In addition, Solomon had 4,000 stalls of horses and chariots, 12,000 cavalrymen stationed in the chariot cities as well as in Jerusalem. He ruled over all the kings and kingdoms from the Euphrates River to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. He made silver become as plentiful as stones in the road. Let me tell you, God blessed Solomon. It was the blessing of God who made him what he did. God blessed and increased the people in the Old Testament. And the Bible says we have a better covenant than they had. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, it says Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry insomuch he's the mediator of a better covenant that was established on better promises. Say, I've got a better covenant, and it's got better promises. And this new covenant says we redeem from the curse of poverty and lack. We do not have to spend the rest of our lives just barely getting by. God increased them in the Old Testament, and God wants to increase you in this better new covenant. Let me tell you, God's desire is for you to increase. Now let me tell you seven things you need to do to see increase in your life. How to experience increase in your life. Number one, always keep God first in your life. Always keep the Lord first in your life. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 31, do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? All these things the Gentiles seek after. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus talking about things being added to you, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear. He said, just put God first and all these things will be added to you. God wants us to put him and put his kingdom first in our life. And then he will add everything else that we need and desire. Let me tell you, if God is first in your life, then you will honor Him as being first in your life by giving the first tenth of your income to Him. If God is first in your life, you will be a tither. Can anybody say amen? Why do you say that, Pastor Steve? Because Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. If you honor the Lord by giving Him the first part, the first tenth of your income, God promises that He will bring overflow. He will bless you. What is the first part of our income that we must honor God with? We must honor God with the tithe. The first 10% of our income belongs to the Lord. And when you tithe, you honor the Lord. Yes. Say amen. Amen. In fact, Deuteronomy 14 verse 23 says, bring your tithes before the Lord at the place that He shall choose as His sanctuary. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, the firstborn of your flocks. The purpose of tithing is to teach you. You don't have that on the screen. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 14, verse 23 from the Living Bible. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. It doesn't say that up there, but it says it in the Bible. Let me tell you right now. Tithing is showing that God is first in your life. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Leviticus 27:30 says, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether of the grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to Him as holy. The Bible says the first tenth of every dollar I get belongs to the Lord. Now, if we refuse to honor God with the tithe, then we are cheating God. That's what the scripture says in Malachi 3 verse 8. Should people cheat God? Yet you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings that are due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation's been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my house. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, I don't know about you, but I have put God to the test in my life. I have tried it, and I have seen that it works, God. I've seen God's blessing and increase in my life from the time I started honoring Him. When I was 17 years old, I started tithing on my very first job, and I've seen God bless me in my life. If you want God to bring increase in your life, you've got to honor Him and not cheat Him. You can't cheat God and then ask God to bless you. You've got to honor the Lord. Put Him first. Amen. Secondly, if you want to see increase, you've got to obey and do what the Word of God says. That's what God told Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will deal wisely and have good success. The Bible says that if we will be doers of the word of God, if we will do what God's word says, we will see success in our life. Being a doer of the word of God is the key to blessing and increase. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. But he who is a doer of the word is blessed in what he does. You see, it's not hearing the word of God that changes your life. It is hearing and doing what God's word says. There are some people sitting here and watching this today that will catch a hold of what I'm saying. They'll put it into practice, and they'll see amazing things happen. There are other people sitting here. They'll just listen. They won't put it into practice, and nothing will change in their life. What group are you in? What group do you want to be in? Isaiah 1 verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the best of the land. Job 36:11 says, if they obey Him and serve Him, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Deuteronomy 6, verse 3, be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly. If you want to increase greatly, be careful to obey. It says, and then you will increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God, the God of your fathers, has promised you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 says, be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase. Do you notice that your obedience to God is linked directly to God bringing increase in your life? He said, follow every command I'm giving you today that you may live and increase in the land with the Lord, that your God, you may enter it and possess the land the Lord has promised an oath to your forefathers. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways, revering him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey. And it says a land where bread will not be scarce and where you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron so you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you'll praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Be careful you do not forget the Lord your God and fail to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses, and when you settle down in your houses, it says, and when everything that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and he confirms his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And finally, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments that I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let me tell you something. Obedience to God is the greatest success habit in all the world. Obedience to God is the greatest success habit in all the world. And your obedience to God's instruction is the only proof that you really do love him. Let me say that again. Your obedience to God's instructions is the only proof that you really love God. Jesus said that in John 14, 21. He said, those who truly love me are those who obey my commandments. Do you love the Lord? Oh, I love the Lord, Pastor Steve. Are you obeying his word? Well, tell that to Jesus. Your obedience to honor God with the first fruits of any financial blessing guarantees uncommon financial increase in your life. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, if we honor and obey the Lord, we will see increase, because obedience brings blessing, it brings increase, but disobedience brings lack. Number three, you want to believe God to increase you. Trust God to increase you. Jesus said in Matthew 9, verse 29, according to your faith, let it be unto you. According to your faith, let it be unto you. You see, faith is believing and confessing, declaring what the Word of God says. And I encourage you to believe God for supernatural increase. I encourage you to confess over your life scriptures that promise increase. Declare those scriptures over your life. You may not see how it can happen, but you don't, thank God, we don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. God's got 1,000 different ways that he can increase you. Some of them you've never even thought about. In Deuteronomy 1:11, it says, God has even promised to bless us 1,000 times more, and I pray that he will. I pray that God blesses you 1,000 times more than where you are right now. Let me tell you, God wants to bless you beyond your normal income. He wants to bless you beyond your salary, beyond your retirement. God can give you one good break, one promotion, one idea, one inheritance that can just take you to a whole new level in your life. God has explosive blessings, blessings that can thrust you years ahead. Our job is to believe him. Our job is to believe God for supernatural increase. Say, thank you, Lord, that you bring in supernatural increase into my life. And number four, not only do you want to believe God for supernatural increase, but number four, you need to speak increase. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the New Living Bible says, has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak it out. You've got to You've got to speak increase into your life. You can't speak lack and have abundance. Jesus said you're going to have what you say. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So you want to speak increase over your life. Amen. Don't say, oh, I tell you what, I can't make it financially because of this pandemic. My business is never going to recover. I'm probably going to lose my house. I don't know how I'm going to send my kids to college. No, don't speak lack. Speak abundance. Because I'm obeying God, blessings are overtaking me. The windows of heaven are open above me. God is giving me the power to get wealth. My God will supply all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Amen. I heard about this man. He was believing God to pay off his house. He had 23 years to go on a 30-year mortgage. In the natural, he didn't see how he could do it. But he was bold enough to do what I'm asking you to do today. Instead of saying, this is impossible, there's no way, it's going to take me 23 years, he would go around saying, Father, I want to thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord, my provider. I know my job isn't my source, Lord. You are my source. It may look impossible, but I know you can do the impossible. Do you know, a few years later, he received an inheritance from a family member he never even met before. He didn't even know that they were related. And not only was he able to pay off his house, but he paid off his friend's house too. What was that? That was an explosive blessing. My prayer is, Lord, give me relatives like that. Number five, you need to have a vision for increase, and you need to write your vision down. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Before we can see increase on the outside, we've got to make room for increase on the inside. If you have a small vision, you're going to have a small life. If you think you've reached your limit and you'll never get out of debt and you've gone as far as you're going to go, that'll keep you from God's best. That'll keep you from increase. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision and make it plain. I encourage you to write down your dreams. Write down your goals. Make a vision board. Get pictures of what you believe in God for. Put it up on your vision board and imagine yourself living in that place and believe God for supernatural increase. Number six, if you want to see increase, you've got to be diligent. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. The New Living Bible says, lazy people want much, but they get little, but those who work hard will prosper. Ecclesiastes 5:3, for a dream comes through much effort. Romans 12:11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Colossians 3:22, servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters, and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from your heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up for bad work. Let me tell you right now, God blesses diligence. God blesses diligent people. Many people today have this give me something for nothing mentality. An entitled mentality. Let me tell you, God may have put the dream in their heart, but they're sitting back and they're waiting for God to hand it to them on a silver platter. They don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to break a sweat. They want all the rewards without making any of the sacrifices. You know, Thomas Edison, the famous inventor, he said, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and it looks like work. If we're going to be all God called us to be, we got to be diligent, we got to be disciplined, and we got to be willing to work hard, family. God blesses hard workers. And everybody said amen. Amen. And then number seven, if you want to see increase in your life, you must be a generous giver, a generous sower. I'm not talking about tithing. Tithing does not make you generous. Tithing is returning to God what already belongs to God. Sowing or giving is done from the 90% that is remaining that is ours. Can you say amen? And Proverbs 11:24 says, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and the one who waters will be watered himself. The New Living Bible says, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The Passion Bible says, generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them, and the one who pours out his life to blessings, he will be saturated with favor. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more, abundant gifts will pour upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, because God loves hilarious generosity. God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything. Every moment in every way, he will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing that Verse 9, just as the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. This generous God who supplies abundant seed for the sower. Do we not have the scripture up there? Do we not have the scripture? That's okay, but we don't have it back there. All right, let me carry on with the service. Can't stop the whole service now. I'll read it again. Just as the scriptures say this about the one who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly and given, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. It says this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it, that the harvest of your generosity will grow. Amen. The New Living Bible says he will provide and increase your resources. You will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. Now, generous and sacrificial giving brings supernatural increase in your life. There are many examples of this in the Bible, like the widow that was in famine in 1 Kings chapter 17. It says, the Lord said to Elijah in verse 8, I've instructed a widow, go down to Sidon, Zarephath, I've instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow. She was gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to go get it, he called, he said, bring me a bite of bread too. She said, I swear by the Lord your God, I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal for me and my son. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. I mean, they were in a famine. She didn't even have a single piece of bread in her house. And the prophet comes along and he says, first make me a sandwich before you do anything else. Elijah says, don't be afraid. He says, first make a little bread for me. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain upon the earth and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her son continued to eat for many, many days after that. It says there was always enough flour and olive oil in the containers, just as the Lord promised. God supernaturally increased the flour and the olive oil until the famine was over because she gave a sacrificial gift to the man of God. See, some people say, well, you shouldn't tell people if they're in a financial need, you shouldn't encourage them to give. That's the very thing that is going to allow God to bring supernatural increase in your life. God supernaturally increased the flour and the oil because she gave. Some people, they want to increase, but they don't want to give. Let me say it again. Some people, they want to increase, but they don't want to give. I've had people hand me an envelope to pray over. It's got written all their dreams and goals that they wrote on it, but they didn't put anything in the envelope. They didn't put any seed in the envelope to bring about their dreams. They don't want to sow seed. What would you think of a farmer who's praying and believing God for a harvest, but he doesn't sow any seed? What if he prayed, Lord, if you give me a harvest, I promise I'll sow some seed next time. I mean, let me tell you, everything in the kingdom of God starts with seed. The day that I do not sow a seed, I schedule lack in my future. If that farmer doesn't sow a seed, he's going to be standing in his field looking at his neighbors, wondering why they got a harvest and he didn't. If you want to experience supernatural increase, you must determine to be a faithful, obedient, generous sower. Because God wants to bring supernatural increase, but he requires a seed to multiply. Remember when Jesus supernaturally fed 5,000 people? How did that supernatural increase come? The scripture says Jesus had been preaching to the crowd all day. The disciples asked him to send the people away to go buy food. Jesus said, you feed them. They said, we don't have enough. He said, what do you have? They said, we got a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is that among so many people? What did Jesus say in Matthew 14? Let me have them. He had everyone sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven. He gave thanks to God. He broke into pieces. He gave it to his disciples, who in turn gave it to the crowds. And everyone ate until they were satisfied, for the food was multiplied in front of their eyes. The food was multiplied in front of their eyes. They picked up the leftovers and filled up 12 baskets full of leftovers. And it says there were about 5,000 men who were fed in addition to the women and the children. Now, the Bible says Jesus blessed the bread. He gave it to the disciples. The disciples gave it to the people. As they kept breaking, as they kept giving, it kept supernaturally increasing. If they had stopped giving and started eating, would it have continued increasing? No, because you got to sow a seed so that God can increase it. As long as they kept giving that bread, it just kept on multiplying. It just kept on increasing. If the disciples had eaten it, that would have stopped the miracle. The Bible said they all ate till they were full. Was that the end of it? No, they gathered up 12 baskets left over. How many people desire increase in your life? Raise your hand if you want to. If you don't want to increase, keep your hand down. You can stay right where you are. But if you want to increase, raise your hand. How many of you want to see your house paid off? How many of you would like to have a paid off house? Let me tell you, to increase is a God-given desire. What matters is the purpose for the increase. If I just want more for me, then my motives are wrong. God wants to bless me and bless you and make you a blessing. With seed, you can produce your future. Seed brings increase. Seed is required for increase. You determine how much you increase. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever he sows, he will reap. Whatever he doesn't sow, he won't reap. How many people believe God wants to increase you today? Amen. How many of you are ready to see increase in your life? Because I believe there's an anointing of God here today for increase. There's something powerful about sowing a seed at a particular moment that guarantees an increase in your life. This month, during the month of December, we are asking you to sow a significant seed. It has to be significant to you. Because if it's not significant to you, it's not significant to God either. I'm asking you to sow a significant seed. Sow your seed and initiate your future prosperity. That's how you step into increase. That's how the cycle begins. As you continue to do this, you'll increase more and more until you become very prosperous. In the month of December, we are receiving our Heart for the House Christmas year-end offering. And I'm asking everyone in the church to pray and ask the Lord, what would he have you to do? I'm asking you to do something over and above. And we have these envelopes. These are Heart for the House envelopes. They're in green. It says Heart for the House. I'm going to ask you, with that year-end offering, please use this envelope. Maybe some of you came prepared today, and I want to ask you to write down what you're trusting God for, write it down on the envelope. Your dreams, your goal, your vision, write it down. We're going to pray over these. We're going to believe God with you. If you're watching online, you can sow your seed. You can participate in this Heart for the House year-end Christmas offering. You can give online. Go on to ascendchurch.us and you'll see the word donate in red. And I would encourage you to pray and ask the Lord what he wants you to do. No one here, there's no pressure on anyone because you just do what God is leading you to do. Amen? Amen? Just do what God is leading you to do. There's times where we have to step beyond what we're used to doing. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. The New Living says the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. See, you determine the size of your harvest. Do you want to see a lot of increase in 2021? Then sow a big seed. Ask God what he wants you to sow. It may be more than what you even have right now, but you can sow toward it and God will bring it to you. I've seen that happen. We had one lady, she felt the Lord told her to give $100,000 a few years ago. She didn't have it, but she gave something towards it. And the next thing, she got this inheritance. As she came back, she said, I want to fulfill that $100,000 that I committed to. Just write down the amount that the Lord tells you and put your best seed in to produce your best harvest. I can tell you so many testimonies of people in this church who've seen this work in their life. I mean, I think about Miguel and Natalie. They started coming to our church a few years ago. He told me they were on the brink. They were on the brink of divorce when they started coming to our church. And they got plugged in. I mean, they're serving in so many areas and media and children's church and started giving, started tithing. They're faithful tithers. They tithe no matter what. And every time we've had any kind of special project, like when we moved in this building, they're the first ones. They're the first ones to give. They are such givers. God has blessed them. Their marriage is happier than ever. Natalie's got her own business. Miguel's just kept getting promotion. He's about to get another major promotion at his job right now. God's just kept blessing them and increasing them. Where did I put my... I'll find it. All right. I'll pick it up later. I've got to read you this testimony from Stacy. This just blew me away. This is amazing. This is Stacy Buck. She said, this year, due to the pandemic, the healthcare industry was hit very hard when hospitals stopped performing outpatient procedures. And now at the end of 2020, the healthcare industry still has a long way to go to fully recover. Stacy's in the healthcare industry. My entire consulting business is built on hospital outpatient procedures. When these were suspended, I was concerned that it would have an adverse effect on my business. Additionally, those individuals who comprise my core customer base for an online training course that I offer were getting laid off and furloughed due to a lack of work. And the lender who was providing financing for my customers stopped offering payment plans at a time they were needed the most. My training class cost almost $2,000, and I was concerned that people would not be willing to pay this amount in full for a training course with uncertainty ahead. Everything in the natural seemed to point to difficult times ahead. However, I said, Lord, I don't need everyone out there to sign up for the course, but I know that you can send me enough people who want to sign up. Not only did he send me enough, he sent me more than enough. During the months of March and April, as layoffs and furloughs continued, revenue for my business was well above average with more online sales than usual. Fast forward to now, the end of the year, I had a record-breaking sales of over $100,000 for my online education program over the course of this year, and my additional consulting income was minimally impacted. So I made $50,000 more this year than I did last year. She made $50,000 more this year than she did last year. And the best part is I worked fewer hours than I did last year, and I made much more. A few years ago, the Lord spoke to me to start giving 15% each week at a time when it didn't make any sense to do so, given the large financial needs I had in front of me, but I committed to it. And over the past year, many financial issues have finally been resolved, including finally paying off a large IRS debt that I had been dealing with for over 10 years. Some people hearing this may be thinking, well, it's easy to give when you make that much money. But many times over the years, I gave sacrificially when I did not have enough to meet my financial needs and was facing large obstacles, sometimes emptying my bank account of the last bit of money. I remember when we were building this building, when we were renovating this building, and we were raising funds for the building, and Stacy came to me and she said, I have $6,000 in my savings account, and I was saving it for this big tax bill I have, but it's not enough to pay the bill, and I feel the Lord wants me. And she emptied her whole savings account and gave $6,000, everything she had, to the building fund. It doesn't surprise me how God has blessed her. She made $50,000 more this year, and God supernaturally has canceled out. She's paid off that IRS bill. God has blessed her. She said this. She said, He has spoken to me many times over the years to give small amounts and large amounts, and every single time when the situation looked impossible, He's always come through for me. I could provide numerous testimonies of God's supernatural provision in my life over the years. Tithes and offerings are an absolute non-negotiable for me. Many, many years ago, I stopped going to church for a period of 6 years, and even during that time, I was still committed to tithing. I give God all the glory for prospering me and always providing for me. I know that He is always faithful, as I've been faithful in tithes and offerings for the past 25 years of my life. Praise the Lord. Can you give God thanks and praise? Thank you for that, Stacy. Stacy, let me tell you, don't believe what the enemy would say, that you can't prosper because of what's going on around you. Stacy made $50,000 more this year in a business that has been greatly impacted by this pandemic. I want to tell you, God can increase you. God will increase you. I want to encourage you to believe Him for it, to declare it over your life, to honor Him, to obey Him. And I'm asking you that during December to pray, Lord, what do you want me to sow? What seed do you want me to sow for the heart, for the house offering? If you are anyone thankful for this church, is anybody thankful for Ascend Church? Well, if you're thankful, I'm asking you to ask the Lord what He would have you to do. It may be something bigger than you ever imagined. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. Jill and I will be doing this. Use the envelope. You can go online. You can give it. You can do it online. In fact, when you go online, there's a section in the online giving that says Heart for the House Christmas year-end offering. You can do it online. So I'm asking you to take that envelope, and we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. We're going to give now. Pastor Jill's not going to say anything more about the offering. I think I've said enough than what needs to be said. Is anyone here ready to give today? Did you get something out of this today? Did this bless you in some way today? Well, I am believing God for supernatural increase. Our God is a God of increase. Can you say amen? I'm believing God for increase in your life in the name of Jesus. I want you to hold that envelope in your hand. Hand me one of those, the green one. Did I throw that away? Thank you. The green one. I want you to pray, Lord, what would you have me to do, Father? What would you have me to do? Let me tell you, anytime God speaks to you about sowing, remember, He's got your harvest on His mind. God wants to increase you. That's what He wants to do. He's not trying to take from you. He's trying to bring blessing into your life in Jesus' name. Do you receive this morning? Amen. Has anyone, I'm going to ask you to take, if you want to go think about this, pray over it, that's fine. It's during the month of December. But I'm asking everyone in our church to seek the Lord and to see what He would have you to do. We're believing for big things. How about you? Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm overwhelmed this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to pray over this. I want you to hold your, those who are watching online, I want you to, you can give online. There's many ways of giving at our church. You can give at ascendchurch.us. You can give by text giving. You can text the number. And, of course, if you're here this morning, you can use the envelope, use a credit card, check, cash, whatever it is. We want to pray over it right now and trust God. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready this morning? See, you can, if you take everything I heard, everything I said up to point six, yeah, Pastor Steve, I'm with you. Amen, 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 amen. And number seven, giving, I don't know about that. None of it works without number seven. You understand? They all go together. All right, Father, I thank you for every person in this church. I thank you for the faithful givers and tithers in this church, Lord. I thank you, Father, you promised to open the windows of heaven and pour blessing upon them. I thank you, Lord, as we sow the seed that you put in our heart. You said that as we give, as we sow, Lord, so we shall reap. You said the measurement of our giving determines the measurement of our return. Father, I thank you for blessing every giver today. I thank you for doing miracles of supernatural increase. I thank you, Lord, for opening supernatural doors. I thank you for bringing business. I thank you for bringing promotions. Lord, I give you all the praise. I thank you, Lord, you've got 1,000 different ways of bringing increase. And I declare increase in your life in the name of Jesus. I declare God is increasing you more and more, you and your children, in the name of Jesus. If you receive it, believe it, say amen. I receive it. Say thank you, Lord, for bringing increase into my life in Jesus' name. Ushers, are you ready today? Ushers, are you standing ready? Is everybody ready to give? Can we go ahead and pass the offering buckets? Does anyone need more time? All right, go right ahead. Thank you so much. Today we have our Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. I hope you can stay with us afterwards. Everyone brought a dish. I brought, as I told you, South African sausage called boerewors. We're going to be grilling it up there and having little boerewors rolls. And there's all kinds of great food out there. Please stay and have a great time of fellowship with us. Praise the Lord. And then next Sunday we're having the live nativity scene and with a petting zoo. That's next Sunday. And happy birthday Jesus party, that's next Sunday. Invite someone. Don't forget, of course, Christmas Eve service. Our Christmas Eve service is when? Thursday, December 24th at 7 to 8 p.m., 1 hour. Are you ready today? Stand up with me. Would you do that? I'm going to do that. Stand up with me, everybody. Just bow your heads for a moment as we close in prayer. We never close a service without giving people opportunity to make sure all is right between you and God. While your head is bowed today, while your eyes are closed, before we dismiss today, I want to pray for anyone that is here this morning. If you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm not sure if all is right between me and God today. Listen, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking if you believe in God. What I am asking is, are you sure? Are you positive that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that. You can be sure about it. In fact, you can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that one day when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray right now. Anyone that's here this morning, you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to step out, but right where you're standing, if you say, pray for me, include me in that prayer. Pastor Steve, I want to be sure that all is right with me and the Lord. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand up right now? Just lift it up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Just wave it at me. All right. Say this with me. Everybody say, dear God, I thank you today that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth, to die on a cross and take my sin. Lord, you said that if I believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess he is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I do this today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, make me your child. I confess, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. And I thank you. Because I have received you, say, I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my Father. I am your child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen. And amen. Tell your neighbor, God's about to increase you greatly. Tell your neighbor, God's about to increase you greatly. Come on, sing with us as we go today.
Waymaker, miracle.